Welcome to the National Presbyterian Church podcast. I'm Pastor Ray Hilton, and I'd like to personally say how thrilled we are to share our sermon with you this week. If you feel encouraged by our messages, we invite you to hit the subscribe button so you will never miss an episode. Now, let's go to the National Presbyterian Church sanctuary and hear the word of the Lord.
Scripture reading today is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, found on page 2 of your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her. And he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Where are you? That question rang in my head as I was tucked away, hiding from my youth group. We were playing one of our favorite games, which is a reverse hide and seek that we called sardines. The point of the game is for one person to go hide, and then the youth group and the leaders go and try to find that person, and when they do find the person hiding, they sit with them until the last person finds the whole group, hence the term sardines, because by the end of the night, you're all squished together in one little spot. Now, as the youth pastor, it was unusual that I was the one doing the hiding. And I was getting anxious because I couldn't hear the kids running, walking briskly through the church hallways. For some reason, it was taking a really long time for them to find me. And my anxiety started going, where are you? Am I forgotten? Did they leave? What's going on? The whole thing really had me unsettled. Let's pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The passage that Gretchen read for us tonight, thank you, Gretchen, for reading, is a brilliant one for us to look at as we celebrate Ash Wednesday and begin the Lenten season. The church has encouraged Christians to utilize these 40 days between tonight and Maundy Thursday It's a time to reflect on our relationship with God, to fast, to give things up, perhaps, to repent, to consider our sins and ask God for cleansing of our hearts. We're also invited to consider Jesus' ministry, to think about the trials at the end of his life, and help us to be better prepared so that when Maundy Thursday and Easter Sunday morning dawn, we are better prepared to celebrate Jesus' sacrifice, which restores our relationship with God. Now, this Lenten season is specifically devoted for us as Christians to grow spiritually, to help prepare our minds and hearts and spirits, as I said, and to hopefully deepen our connection with God. It can be a difficult season. It's hard to focus on our sin. But it can be an incredibly important one because this helps us in our discipleship. And it helps us develop a hopefully more robust connection with God. Now, the story of the fall describes the aftermath of humanity's first disobedience and sin against God. Man and woman ignore God's admonition and attempt to become like God or become equal with God by gaining knowledge about good and evil. Now, it begins in an innocent way. The woman chooses to engage in conversation with the serpent. But as we learn and as we know, it ends in disaster. For the serpent twists God's words just enough to mischaracterize God's point, which helped the woman and the man make decisions that forever alter their relationship with God. Now, we've come to associate the serpent with the devil, with evil. But originally, this character was used to sort of move the plot along. You see, the sermon scratches the itch of the woman's anxiety, and that sets everything in motion. As soon as the serpent suggests that there's an alternative to God's way, the woman looks at the tree and the fruit with different eyes. Suddenly, she sees that the fruit is good, and it's a delight to the eyes. And so she and the man make a calculation that destroys their paradise. They take the forbidden fruit from the tree that God warned them against, and they ate it. And as soon as they crossed the boundary that God had set, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly knew shame. For the first thing that they do is hide and try to cover up. Now, in verse 8, that's probably my favorite verse of this passage because it describes the sweet relationship that God has with humanity before all that happens. Before the woman gets it into her head that there's another way, God had an easy relationship with humanity. God walks in the garden in the cool breeze of the evening to enjoy the relationship with man and woman, the people that he created. And this seems to be a regular occurrence. But this night, something is drastically wrong. Instead of an easy rapport and intimacy between God and his creation, the woman and the man are nowhere to be seen. In fact, they have deliberately hidden themselves from God so they don't have to face the ramifications of their sinful decisions. But God won't have that. God loves them and wants them to confront their disobedience and shame. The first step for humanity is to come out of hiding and reconnect with God. And so God is the one who initiates the process towards reconciliation. And God calls out where are you? God pursues them with love, not condemnation. The man responds and reluctantly admits that he was afraid. And his fear comes from knowing that God would see him fully and completely. The good, the bad, everything about him. And that terrified the man. We didn't read the rest of the chapter, but as the story continues, further light is shed on their sin. Blame comes up, consequences are levied, and the man and woman are banished from the garden and forever separated from God. Why does the woman look beyond her secure place in paradise and long for the fruit that God warned them against? Why does she respond to those questions that the serpent poses? And most importantly, why does she believe the serpent's lies and distrust God's own word? I think it's difficult to know precisely, but I'm going to share my hunch with you. I think the woman began to feel anxious. And to help her manage that anxiety, she turned to the serpent rather than to God. She believed the creation, rather than the creator, would be able to help her with the sensations that she was feeling, that anxiety was running through her. You all know what I mean. That hum that we live with, that coursing through our mind and our body, that restlessness, that fear, that develops when we feel anxiety. So the question is, why was she so anxious? One commentator helped me by suggesting that the woman felt some rebellion at being denied the fruit. I thought that was interesting. So when God draws a boundary for the man and the woman as a means of protection, the woman interpreted the boundary as denial. God was keeping something from them. And that didn't sit well with her. So when the serpent told her that God had deceived the man and the woman by shading the truth of what would happen when the fruit was eaten, she was all in. Suddenly, she had a means to correct the injustice that she had inferred. And she also found a way to calm the anxiety that she was feeling. All she had to do was to take that fruit and eat it. And the serpent helps her along by telling her that the fruit would bring knowledge rather than death and separation from God. So perhaps it was easy for the woman to ignore the truth of what God told them and believe the lies from the serpent. For the lie, rather than the truth, affirmed the woman's belief that God was at odds with them and wanted to withhold rather than give. So when the woman and the man ate the fruit, they exchanged life with God for knowledge. They rejected God's loving care and provision in exchange for self-determination and the opportunity to follow their own path. And because they disobeyed, God expelled them from the garden and opened the door for them to experience the consequences of that choice: disconnection, pain, misery, hardship. No longer was there any easy intimacy between God and humanity, because sin had come between them. Sin and evil erected a barrier that nothing other than Jesus Christ's love, obedience, and sacrifice
could repair.
So what do we take from this story to help us as we begin our Lenten journey? How can we use the lessons from humanity's first instance of disobedience against God to strengthen and deepen our own creation connection with our Creator? The first step is to ask yourself, where are you in relationship with God? Are you and God in easy intimacy? Do you spend time with God and God's Word in your version of the garden in the cool evening with the breeze? Do you keep short accounts and confess your sin and turn away from attitudes and behaviors that displease God? Do you consistently exhibit Christ-like behavior? Are you kind and generous, loving and gracious? Do you put others before yourself? Do you help the poor, the widow, the orphan? Do you help the prisoner or the stranger? Do you proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to your neighbor? I know you all, so I imagine that you say yes to most of those questions a lot of the time. But because of the reality of sin, I also know that there are areas in your life where you don't live up to the model set by Jesus. You do sin, you rebel, and you desire things that go against God's will. Just as I do. So I invite all of us to use this Lenten season to sort out our areas of sin and to talk to God about them, to invite God into this process, to ask for God's help in how to deal with our disconnection from God. When we acknowledge our disobedience, we will find new intimacy with our Creator. When we move towards God rather than hide, we will find peace and relief. When we take responsibility for our behavior and actions rather than blaming others, our character, our integrity will grow. When we let go of our desire to control everything and know everything and manage everything and determine our own path in life, when we submit our will to God, I think our anxiety will diminish, don't you? When we're honest with ourselves and we ask God to show us what God wants us to know about our disconnection, we open ourselves up to the truth. We can confess those attitudes and behaviors that keep us from a real and deep relationship with our Creator. And then we can receive God's help through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that starts by us affirming that we are the creation and not the Creator. We are sinful and disobedient people who regularly put ourselves where God belongs. We have been created in dust, and to dust we shall return. That's the message of Ash Wednesday. And we must acknowledge this before we can begin to deal with our disconnection with God. God's question, "Where are you?" reveals God's heart. Despite humanity's rebellion, God pursues relationship with us. When God asks, "Where are you?" it's in the spirit of invitation rather than condemnation. God moves toward the man and the woman even as they hide in shame. And God's love is so big that despite broken trust and rejection, God pursues humanity God pursues us. Where are you is a good question to ask during Lent. For it gives us the opportunity to take stock of where we are in relationship to God and to address the areas that need changing. God desires a real connection and a deeper intimacy with each one of us. But we need God's help to come out of our hiding, to let go of our shame, and to begin the process of building a more intimate connection with God. God loves you so much that God sent his son Jesus to forge a new path of connection for us. The connection that the man and the woman that all of us have destroyed. God's question, "Where are you?" is another way of God expressing his love for you. God asks, "Where are you?" to offer us blessing and intimacy with our Creator. When I wondered, "Where are you?" in that church, I didn't know that I was the only one playing sardines that night. Everyone else had gathered in the parlor to make birthday cards, to hang streamers, and to blow up balloons to celebrate my 30th birthday. I thought they had left me, and the reality was they were finding ways to bless and show me how much they loved me. God's question, "Where are you?" is just such a blessing. And may you respond to that invitation in ways that bless and encourage and strengthen your relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit this Lenten season. Let us pray. Oh, Holy God, we praise you that you love us despite the sin that we put between you. We ask, Lord, that you would help us know where we are in relationship to you, and always remember that you are our guiding light, our shining love, and our wonderful Creator. We praise you, Lord Jesus, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're glad that you could be with us today. If you would like more information about our church, visit our website at nationalprez.org. That's nationalprez.org. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing our podcast with your friends and giving us a rating. If you haven't already, be sure to click the subscribe button. See you next week.